Okay, you guys, I'm gonna go ahead and get started. So last time we talked a little bit about the final and what that looks like. I mean, we went over the first coding portion of that if you choose to do the coding. Today we're gonna talk a little bit about the writing prompts if you decide to watch a video, or it's actually two videos, and then do a written response, and then we'll have a demo for Cash Lab as well. So when you log into AutoLab now, you should see this stuff. So you'll be able to see like write-ups for the programming stuff if you download the handout. And when you look at this, each of the written response options will have a write-up now as well. Oh, nope. There we go. Okay, here we go. That was correct. So you have this list here of conference presentations, and you will choose to and watch them and then do a written response that's going to be between 2 to 3 pages, and those prompts will be here. So everybody's going to obviously respond to the first prompt, which is just to summarize the speaker's topics and main points. You'll do that for each of the topics that you watch. And then in addition, you will choose at least three of the below questions to answer. And that should easily get you to 2 to 3 pages. So it shouldn't be hard to reach that. If you need to do more of the prompts to get to 2 to 3 pages, you're welcome to. If you just feel like doing more for some reason, like obviously go for it. But this should be pretty straightforward. If you do end up using outside sources, make sure you cite them. And we want to get you kind of used to the ACM reference formatting. So make sure that you cite whatever video you watched with this guide at the end, and you'll be doing this. There's videos down here somewhere. Here we go, for a video. So something like so. The other thing is that if you come across some like conference talk that fits into one of these two categories that you would really rather watch instead, just shoot me an email and I'm happy to like approve something if it looks like it would be like beneficial and cool, and if you would rather write on that. I don't want to like force you to watch stuff that you really don't want to if there's something that you really are interested in and want to learn more about. So that is what this is the list for the security stuff. I think these are basically in chronological order, and they vary in length, I think between like 30 minutes to an hour each. And then we can, I think the systems one got listed as well. So yeah, you got a list of a few different talks for that systems part as well, but the prompts are all going to be the same. So if you do choose to do just to do this part of the of each of those 40 point blocks, this is what you'll be looking at. Does anybody have questions about that? If you start looking at it and you realize that you do have questions, please just email us. We'll be here. We'll be in help hours. I'm thinking that on Friday we'll have probably like kind of the help hour type class that we have occasionally, where you guys can just work through stuff, or you can just watch a video if you haven't done that yet. But come to class just in case we end up wanting to give you something else or announce something. And then we may end up being like, all right, well, you guys now go work on your final. So that I think is everything you need to know for the written response. Like I said, I think this handout is well written, should be pretty straightforward, but just email us if you have questions. There were a couple, also like if you start working on the programming stuff, we had a couple of students come to office hours yesterday. Feel free to come tomorrow David will certainly be able to help you out. And we had some issues yesterday with like tech stuff, but that should all be resolved. So you should be able to start working on that without any issues on our end, on the server end. So if you do have questions, please come by. Also, Matt answered a question at the end of his lecture that I think was like helpful. So if you do want to work on the programming, the Pwn tool stuff, like I would say watch the last like 10 or 15 minutes of his class from today once that video gets posted. I think that's it. So Saroj is going to do like a little demo for you guys for Cash Lab. And I know you're probably like, why would I do... Well, I would be like, why would I do the programming assignments if I could just write a paper? The conference talks are really cool, and I do encourage you to watch them. Like, I've watched most of them at this point. But here's the thing. The programming assignments we're giving you are not super, super intensive. So honestly, you've already done the hard work for Attack Lab. You already have your solutions. So now you're just learning really how to use like Pwn tools to do this for you, to like automate this for you. And as far as Cash Lab, it's nothing like Shell Lab. Like, you don't have to worry. It's not going to be like as crazy as that. So now that you've already done a fair amount of C coding, like Cash Lab is going to be more focused on like some conceptual stuff really. So I'm going to, like, neither one of them will, we gave you a week for both for a reason. Like, we're not trying to like punish you in some way. So before I pass it off to Saroj, do you guys have any questions? Also, thank you for doing student evals. I keep getting emails that like the percentage completion is going up. I don't know what that means for me. I don't think anything, honestly, but I really appreciate it. I do like your feedback. I would also love feedback on how you feel about this final format, because it's something that we kind of just did in response to what's going on right now in the class format. But I'd love to know, especially like once you guys get into it a little bit, how you feel about it. If you think it was like a fair like substitution, or if you like think it's bullshit, you know, whatever. I want to know both ends of that. So I think that your opinions are valuable and I'd love to hear them. So you're welcome to email me what you think, or if you want to make it anonymous, please use the course evals. But that being said, I'm going to go ahead and pass control over to Saroj.
I have a question really quick, though.
Okay, cool.
Considering the other part of the final, like the Shell Lab question stuff that we're going to do.
We are going to do like a short little bit of, maybe not review, but just like kind of how we did for the midterm. We'll let you know like what it's going to cover. We'll do that. I suggested that we give you guys like, and I think Matt was on board with this, basically like active help hours during class on Friday, or extra time to work on your final. And then we probably have like maybe 15 minutes that we would need to do that kind of thing on Monday.
All right.
To do that, maybe some like semester wrap up stuff, 15 to 20 minutes. So we might do that on Monday. We'll certainly give you some guidance as to what that's going to look like before we just throw it at you. Okay, cool. Well, Saroj.
Okay. Let me. Okay, I'm gonna talk about Cash Lab. Let me get rid of this. Okay, so in Cash Lab, you aren't trying to write the real Cash, but you'll write an optimized code for Cash. So you are gonna write Cash friendly code. When we say Cash friendly code, you are gonna be doing some memory thing. So you would make sure your code is optimized in spacing for address, and there are no patterns that would cause cache conflicts. In Cash Lab, you would be writing a simple matrix transpose function, but you would be trying to get as many cache hits as you can. So if you forgot what matrix transpose is, we're going to transform all this row to a column for every single one of them, right? Our Cash Lab is going to be optimizing this function. So in Cash Lab, you will be given a naive implementation of this transpose function. You don't want that. You will need to implement a new function that would optimize this whole operation. Okay, we say optimize, but how do we optimize Cash Lab? say we have a block size of 8 bytes, since they're integer, it would have two numbers over here, right? So for matrix A, when we read this number, we would get a guess miss for the first number one over here, 800, right? But when you write it over here in matrix B, the first number is still gonna miss because we don't have anything up in guess. So B00 is gonna miss. But when you come back to two over here for our matrix A, when you read two, we're gonna get a guess hit because we already loaded this block of guess in our memory. So we're gonna get a guess hit for that one. But for guess write, we're still gonna get a miss because we don't have this column down here in our guess. So in total for this operation, we'll get 3 guess misses and 1 guess hit. That makes sense. Okay, so if you continue, like, what should we do the next operation? Should we write 3 and 4 up in this memory, or should we write 5 and 6 in this memory, in this B matrix, so we can have as many guess hit as we can? We could. I don't have the chat up on me, so if anybody texts chat, I don't know, but I'm going to give the answer. So let's consider 3 and 4 before we go to 5 and 6. So if we have 3 and 4, we are going to miss 3 because it's not in the cache memory, right? But when you read 4, it's going to be a hit because we already loaded this whole block when you read 3. But when you write it, it's going to go in a different column, right? So we're going to get miss for both of them. 3 going to go here and 4 is going to go here. We will miss both of them in our cache. So in total, we would get like 3 misses and 1 hit. The hit is going to be for 4. But if we handle 5 and 6, our read is still going to be same. We're going to get 1 miss, 1 hit, but we will have hit for both of the write operation because our 5 and 6 is going to go over here, 1, 5, 2, 6. So we will hit when you write it. So in total, we get 1 guess miss and 3 guess hit. That would make 5 and 6 better to be the next operation than 3 and 4. That makes sense, right? Okay, but how do we do that? So we have a technique called blocking, which is basically just dividing the matrix into submatrix that can fit in the cache memory. So instead of doing the whole thing at a time, we will do one block at a time. Our block size depends upon our cache memory, cache size. We don't have any magic number for block sizes, so you're gonna have to try different numbers when you do it. Let's see an example for matrix multiplication. This is harder than a matrix transpose because of so many for loop. You don't have something this complicated looking for our matrix transpose, but this is a good example, I think. These are naive matrix multiplication. So if anybody don't know, we are gonna have all our rows and column multiplied and added to get our element for over here.
Not gonna go into detail. Yeah, can you explain that to me? We studied this in computer organization, but it was kind of brushed off as a self study. Why are the two matrices multiplied together? I don't really understand that.
Okay, this figure is confusing to look at, but basically they are gonna go through every single element. So 0, 0 over here is gonna go 0, 0 over here multiplied and add it with 1, 0 over here to 0, 1 over here. That answered the question. So this is just matrix multiplication. We aren't really trying to do anything over here.
Yeah, I guess I'll look at it myself. I'm just not quite sure why the this is beyond, I guess, the scope of the lab. I'm just not quite sure why the algorithm multiplies a index and then the index.
We can take a look at that.
I think that a note to make here, and Saroj, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're showing you this part as a demo, but you guys aren't going to have to actually know matrix multiplication.
Yeah, we are. Is there
a course that where we're going to learn it? Because I just, like I said, it was brushed off in computer org, and I just, like, this doesn't really make too much sense to me.
I know it. We've gone over it in courses, and I don't remember which course I did it in.
Okay.
If I remember, you'd go over our matrix multiplication in algorithm, and you will do some problem for our operating system too. Okay. As a homework, I think. And moving on, let's do gas analysis for our naive approach over here, right? So our first limit over here will be first row and first column. So when we have over this row form, we have a matrix element, everything is double. We have a block size of 8 double, right? So for every 8 limit, we are gonna get one miss. So we're gonna get a miss. Then for 7 limits, gonna get a gas hit. The 8 limit gonna be a miss, and so on. So in total, we're gonna have n over 8 misses for our row form. But in our column, we are gonna get a miss for every single column because we are gonna save every gas in a row form. So in total, we're gonna have 9 n over 8 misses because n over 8 from here and n misses over here. And when we're done with the first iteration, we're gonna have the last block over here, the red portion as gas in the gas memory. It is 8 wide because everything is a double. So everything is 8. The first column is what you read and everything else is not used in the in our matrix multiplication. It is gonna be the same thing for second iteration. You're still gonna have n over 8 misses for the row form and n misses for the column form. So in total, you're gonna have 9 n over 8 misses for our second iteration. And in total, you have 8 over n cube because we have n squared number of elements in our matrix. Right, but let's do blocking now. So this is the new code over here below where it's a B mini matrix multiplication, right? Instead of doing one at a time, you're gonna compute a block at a time now. So we are still gonna assume we have a cache block of 8 doubles, a much smaller cache size, and we can fit 3 blocks in the cache memory, which is still gonna be smaller than the cache size. Right, so for our first block, we're gonna have B squared over 8 misses for each block. B squared over 8 because each element has B times B elements, so B squared elements, and we are gonna miss every one element in 8 elements, so it's B squared over 8. And we have N over B blocks in the column, getting us the N B over 4 misses. And when you're done with this iteration, we're gonna have these red blocks in our cache memory.
Hey, can you explain the denominator again, the 8 and the 4?
Okay, B squared over 8, because for every 8 limit, we are still gonna miss. It's the same one as before, right, this one. Because B squared, we have B times B number of elements in our block. And the 2n over b because we have two matrices and each matrix has n over b blocks. It is going to be the same thing for the second iteration, right? And our total number of misses is going to be n cubed over 4b. Now, if you compare this with a naive approach, which you had 9 over 8 n cubed, this will give you a better performance if your number of block size is right. This is what you do for a gas lab too. You'll have to do 3 matrix transpose for 3 different sizes. If I remember, it's 32 by 32, 64 by 64, and 61 by 67. We have some rules that were not used in previous labs, so you don't want any warnings in your code. Warnings were fine in cell lab, but if you have warnings in gas lab, you will not receive any credit. You can't use recursion, and you may define only 12 local variables of type int or transpose function. Also, there are no malloc or any variant of malloc. These are some of the main rules, but there are like many rules, so make sure you read the write-up before you start the programming assignment. And there is a section that goes over writing cache-friendly coding book, chapter 6, section 5, so if you guys get stuck, refer to that section. But don't forget to read the write-up because there are a lot of rules for this assignment. And that's it for Cache Lab. We'll be due next Thursday, if I remember.
Yeah, this one and the systems video ones will be due next Thursday. And the write-up isn't quite posted in AutoLab yet. I think we're making some last-minute revisions to that. So stay tuned. That'll be up at some point today. So definitely read through that one. This is actually a really great lab to give you some further stuff or things you'll definitely do, further experience with concepts and with coding that you'll definitely do in OS. So I would recommend at least considering CacheLab for sure as the other option. The other thing I wanted to tell you guys, because I've been getting we've been getting in general a lot of questions about this. Your grade in AutoLab for Attack Lab, please disregard it. Like, everybody does not have zeros. So right now, you don't have a grade really because we haven't graded your comments. So even though it appears that you have a zero, just know that, like, if you solved those phases, you got those points as long as you wrote some like meaningful comments with it. We're like going through, I'm gonna try and get them all graded today so I stop doing these questions, but also so you guys can not be stressed about it. Your grade should be whatever grade you either have on the scoreboard, if you updated the scoreboard as you were going through it, but even if you didn't do the scoreboard updates in AutoLab, our server keeps track of your points every time you pass a phase, so we have your points stored. So please don't stress out because Attack Lab says that you have a zero in it. You guys don't have zeros unless you turned nothing in. So don't worry. And we'll have that graded soon. In general, people's grades on Attack Lab don't drop a ton. So by next class, we should have that up. Does anybody else have any questions? Check in with AutoLab today and make sure you can, I mean, if you already know that you want to do the video stuff, you can start watching that and do those responses right away. But if you want to wait for CacheLab stuff, it'll be up at some point this afternoon. The write-up will. And hopefully we'll see you in help hours to talk about some code stuff. The nice thing about this final is that we are like, you know, here to help. We're here to assist you with your coding. Also, same thing as with systems, like, or not with system, with Shell Lab, CacheLab is, you know, a common lab for this course. So we will, again, as we did with Shell Lab, check to make sure that your code hasn't been lifted from anywhere else, and you will be required to comment it out. So if you do end up pulling CacheLab code from somewhere else, you will get a zero and have some explaining to do. Any other questions? Okay, well, I am going to, and if there's nothing else from you guys, I'm going to give the rest of this class time back to you so that you can start working on this stuff. I would love to see questions in email form or via help hours, so I hope that happens this week, and I hope that the rest of your finals are going okay as well. I know you guys are chatting in the chat about set theory stuff, so I don't want to cut you off.